The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
Well, this is perhaps one of the most familiar Christmas time hymns. And rightly so, it tells the story well. It tells the story as the story first came to those shepherds who, as Luke's gospel reminds us, were in their fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. The angel appears to them bringing the gospel. That's the word that he speaks there. I bring you the gospel, good news. He actually says, I evangelize you. I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day, and it is December the 25th, on this day born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Merry Christmas. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first hour of today's program studying this hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. Its author, the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Our guest, Pastor Paul McCain. In the second hour, Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary will join us. We'll discuss the birth of Christ according to Luke's account. Pastor Paul McCain is publisher and executive editor of the editorial department for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. He's general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Paul, welcome back.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Todd, and to your listeners.
And to you as well. The Christmas time hymns are, it's hard to knock any of them, but some of them seem to be missing something. They tell
I'd be happy
why.
To knock a few of them.
Oh, you would. Well, yeah. We've got a great one in front of us.
Yeah.
A lot of them tell the what of Christmas, the story, and they get it right, but they fail to talk about the why. Why is the why of Christmas as important as the what?
Without the why, the events of Christmas, it would be very tempting to turn these great events into simply a myth, a story, or a legend. And the problem with that is then we miss the real point of Christmas. The point of Christmas is, as you say, the great why, the very good news that there is a Savior from sin, a Savior from the wrath of God coming on all men at the end of time, and the good news is Christ the Lord, the Word of God incarnate.
We don't think of Luther so much as a hymn writer. We think of him as the 16th century reformer, kind of a class in, of his own. But talk about Luther, the hymnist, if you will.
Yeah, there was a burst of creative genius from Martin Luther in the 1520s. He was doing so much at this time. He translated the New Testament from German, from Greek into German. I almost said from German into English. I wish he would have done that. And at the same time, around 1523, there was this burst of hymn writing, and this hymn actually comes a little later. One of the great hymns he wrote in the 1520s is a hymn most people know, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. But this hymn he wrote a number of years later, actually for his children, this great Christmas hymn. He wrote dozens of hymns, and Concordia Publishing House actually has the most extensive single collection of all of Luther's hymns. It's simply called the Hymns of Martin Luther. If you want to hear everything that he wrote, this is the resource for that. But Luther loved music, and he loved to sing. He loved to put the Word of God to music.
All right. When we look at this hymn, From Heaven Above, he wrote it in a certain form. It has, and we're going to use that form for the most part to structure our listening to and our study of the hymn. But what is the form of this hymn? It is 15 stanzas. They're short, but 15 stanzas long.
Yes, his intention for this hymn, and in fact, when it first appeared in print and many, many years in German hymnals, it would always also come with the heading, A Children's Song About the Birth of Christ. Luther loved to celebrate Christmas. He particularly loved Christmas Eve, and the account goes that he wrote this hymn for his children to sing back and forth to one another. One person would take the role of the angel in the first part of the hymn, the first seven verses or so, and then from verses 8 on, the rest of the children in the house would respond to the angel announcing the birth of Christ. So it was a very fun song to sing, and Luther would even have someone dress up as an angel to sing the part of the angel.
We're going to be listening to the first five stanzas, that angel's part, if you will, of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. What should we be listening for before we get into the text of these stanzas?
I would say that if your listeners, and I know your listeners are very acute theologians and very attuned to these things, listen for the wonderful Christology in these verses, the wonderful way Luther has of teaching us the doctrine that there are two natures in Christ, both fully a man and fully God. Just listen for the Christology in these hymns, in addition to the familiar story of the Christmas account.
The first five stanzas of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. From heaven above to earth I come to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say and sing. To you this night is born a child of Mary, chosen virgin mild. This little child of lowly birth shall be the joy of all the earth. This is the Christ, our God Most High, who hears your sad and bitter cry. He will himself your Savior be, from all your sins to set you free. He will on you the gifts bestow, prepared by God for all below, that in his kingdom bright and fair you may with us his glory share. These are the signs that you shall mark: the swaddling clothes and manger dark. There you will find the infant laid by whom the heavens and earth were made.
From heaven above to earth I come to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say.
Those are the first five stanzas of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. Pastor Paul McCain is our guest. We're studying this hymn on this Christmas day. Paul, you said there's Christology here. About 10 years ago, Max Lucado sold a lot of books pointing out the fact that this baby in the lap of the Virgin Mary is also her creator and her savior. But Luther was thinking these thoughts about the profound mystery of the incarnation hundreds of years ago, wasn't he?
Well, yes, and Luther was simply building on the very, very long tradition in the church of this profound understanding of what the incarnation of God meant when the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, took on our human flesh and identified himself with us very intimately. You find the same kind of language all the way back into the ancient church fathers, most notably perhaps the gifted rhetorician St. Augustine was already saying these things, that the one who is born of Mary is also her creator. Of course, he's simply reflecting John 1, which says that all things that have been made were made through Jesus Christ.
Luther takes some liberties, poetic liberties, with the words of the angel. He goes into more depth than the angel actually does. He seems to want to unpack those simple words like Christ, the Lord, Savior. Is that what he's doing in these first five stanzas?
Yes, exactly. He is letting the angel declare the good news of Christmas. This is the Christ, our God Most High. And then this wonderful line, who hears your sad and bitter cry. And what would that be? That's the cry of the sinner, calling out for God's forgiveness and help, anybody in trouble, crying out to God for assistance. And then he says, he will himself, your Savior, be from all your sins to set you free. So Luther gets right to the point. And of course, he is basically lyrically paraphrasing the accounts in the Gospels that, you know, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall be what? The Savior. He shall be your Savior. He will save his people from their sins. So Luther is strongly rooted here in the various narratives that we have in Scripture describing the incarnation of Christ.
When we come back from this break, we're going to look at the next part, the next two stanzas, in fact, of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, where there's a bit of a response to the angels. We're studying this great Christmas hymn on this Christmas Day, Friday, December the 25th, with Pastor Paul McCain. He's publisher and executive director of the editorial department for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. He's general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. When we come back, there is already the clear proclamation of our sin, our condition for which Christ came and which he would deal with his own suffering and death. Already in Christmas, we have a clear proclamation of the cross, which is always in view by the gospel writers when they tell us the story of Christ's birth. We see that at this Christmas time, we celebrate far more than just a birth. We are also celebrating his death and his resurrection. Without his death and his resurrection, his birth really brings us nothing but curiosity, nothing but a spectacle, nothing but, what, a singular event in human history that God would become man. Why did he become man? To himself, our Savior, be. When we come back, we'll talk more about the hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, with Pastor Paul McCain.
The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at the Christmas hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, authored by the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. We're using a recording from a four CD set published by Concordia Publishing House, titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Paul, tell us about this resource.
Sure. This is a wonderful collection. It's the most extensive collection available, and never before were all the hymns and ballads and chants that Luther wrote gathered into one large recording. There's 39 separate tracks on this collection, and you can literally hear everything he wrote. Some will be very familiar, some will be brand new to many people, but it really gives you the full scope of Luther's hymn writing. He not only wrote the words, but in many cases also wrote the tunes for these hymns, including perhaps the one we're talking about today, From Heaven Above.
Folks, you can purchase Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. As we listen to the next two stanzas that form kind of a narrator's response to the angel's proclamation of the good news, what should we be listening for here?
Just simply the very nice way Luther has prepared an opportunity for those hearing this hymn to also immediately begin to respond to it. And so he's talking about how glad we're going to be to find it, just like the shepherds found it. And it's interesting how Luther puts us into the story at this point. You know, he says, "Then with the shepherds let us go to see what God for us has done in sending us his own dear son. And then come here, my friends, lift up your eyes and see what in the manger lies. Who is this child so young and fair? It is a Christ child lying there." So Luther pulls us into the events, and with the shepherds now we are going to go to the manger.
How glad we'll be to find it so, then with the shepherds let us go, to see what God for us has done in sending us his own. Come here, my friends, lift up your eyes and see what in the manger lies. Who is this child so young and fair? The blessed Christ child lieth there.
Paul, you can't hear a hymn like this without kind of assembling the nativity scene in your mind. And yet often that nativity scene is merely a romantic tableau, nothing more than just a snapshot of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and all the others assembled there post-birth, and doesn't go farther than this. Luther continues to refer to this child as the Christ child. What does Christ mean, especially in this season of the Christ Mass?
Yeah, Christ is from the Greek word Christos, which is a translation of the ancient Hebrew language for anointed one. And in the Old Testament, whenever God's chosen kings were put into office, they were anointed with oil. And so we think immediately that this is the ultimate king of God's people, the one sent to rule and guide and govern and guard, and most importantly, to save his people from their sins. Hence, Jesus, the son of Mary, the son of God, received the appellation Christos, or Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah.
You say that Luther draws us into this scene, and we go with the shepherds there. He even asks this question, what is this child, more than who is this child? I mean, we could say this child is Jesus. What is this child? What's the best answer we give in this Christmas season to that question?
The best answer of all is that he is the perfect substitute, sacrifice, go-between, ransom, redeemer, all those wonderful biblical words which conjure up all kinds of beautiful pictures of the fact that Jesus is the one who is sent to the cross by his Father to be the redemption that we need, to buy us back, to win us back from the power of sin, death, and hell. He is the Savior, and by every drop of blood he shed, he was cleansing the world, the entire world, of its sin. He is the Savior. That's what it means to be Christ the Lord.
There was a profound reading in last Sunday's epistle from the book of Hebrews, a conversation recorded in the Psalms between the Son of God and God the Father. And one of the key lines there was, sacrifices and whole burnt offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Is that what we're watching here with the incarnation, a body prepared for the Son of God?
Exactly. God took matters into his own hands when Adam and Eve subjected the world to sin, when they fell to the temptations of the evil one, subjecting all descendants of Adam and Eve, and that's everybody, to the death and destruction and gloom and doom that came into the world as a result of this. And people who might want to scoff at that thought need only but look around the world to see the enduring consequences of this horrible fall into sin. Into this great darkness comes this brilliant light, as St. John's Gospel brings out so clearly, and that light can never be overcome. This is the Christ who saves us. It's very interesting, and I'm looking at the original German while we're listening to the English. English always has to translate German into hymns with lyrical forms, but Luther is so concrete. He says, who is this beautiful little child, this little tiny baby? He is the beloved little Jesus. And of course, the word Jesus comes from the Hebrew Yahshua, which means Savior. So there's just all this concrete, wonderful good news packed into this hymn.
The next section, stanzas 8 through 13, of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, what shall we listen for? What is it teaching us?
Well, this is a very interesting section, and I think in our previous hymnal in our church body, Lutheran Worship actually split From Heaven Above into two hymns. They had From Heaven Above, and then they had Welcome to Earth, O Noble Guest. As we move into verse 8, we begin to hear the response. And of course, you put yourself back in the day when Luther wrote this for his family at home on Christmas Eve. There would be somebody dressed up as an angel, perhaps Luther himself, singing in his beautiful tenor voice the first seven stanzas. And then the children and the family members would all respond with these following verses. And it's a word of welcome to the Christ who comes to be among us and with us.
Welcome to earth, O noble guest, through whom the sinful world is blessed. You came to share my misery, that you might share your joy with me. Ah, Lord, though you created all, how weak art thou, how poor and small, that you should choose to lay your head where humble cattle lately fed. Were earth a thousand times as fair, beset with gold and jewels rare, it would be far too poor and small a cradle for the Lord of all. Instead of soft and silken stuff, you have but hay and straw so rough, on which as king so rich and great, to be enthroned in royal state. And so it pleases you to see this simple truth revealed to me, that worldly honor, wealth, and might are weak and worthless in your sight. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed, soft, undefiled, a quiet chamber set apart for you to dwell within my heart.
Welcome to earth, O noble guest, through whom the sinful world is blessed. You came to share my misery, that you might share your joy with me. Set with gold and jewels rare, it would be far too poor and small, a cradle for the Lord of all.
Instead of soft and silken stuff, you have but hay and straw so rough, on which as king so rich and to be enthroned in royal state.
And so it pleased
That's the middle section of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. We're studying this Christmas hymn on this Christmas day with Pastor Paul McCain, publisher and executive director of the editorial department for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. He's general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. When we come back from this break, we'll explore some very profound things that Luther does when he pens this middle section of this great Christmas hymn. Not only transitioning from the bed wherein our Savior Christ was laid as a baby after his birth to his place that he takes up, the residence he takes up in our hearts by his grace, but also speaking again about the humility of Christ's entrance into the world through the womb of the Virgin Mary, foreshadowing the humility of the cross. Stay tuned.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Do you remember what happened during the huge debate on health care reform when Sarah Palin mentioned death panels? She said bureaucratic death panels would be choosing who gets medical services when money's tight under Obamacare. In many cases, these decisions will determine who lives and who dies. The president and liberal media basically said she was crazy. Last month, during a roundtable discussion on ABC's This Week, Paul Krugman with the New York Times pretty much repeated Governor Palin's prediction, only he thought it would be a good thing. Krugman said, some years down the pike, we're going to get the real solution, which is going to be a combination of death panels and sales taxes. Now the truth comes out. Obamacare must be repealed.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. Pastor Paul McCain is our guest. In that middle section, the response from the family, from the people, to the angel's good news, really addressed to Christ himself, not to the angel, but to Christ himself. There's this line, "You came to share my misery that you might share your joy with me." Some people might mistakenly believe that the misery is simply becoming man, entering into the mess and the mire of being a human being. Does it go beyond that?
Oh, that's interesting. I could see why people might think that. No. What Luther is talking about here is the wonderful good news of the fact that God became man. The ancient church father Athanasius had its wonderful line that which Christ did not assume, he did not redeem. In other words, he said that to refute people who said, well, you know, the Son of God didn't really become a human being, didn't really take on human flesh. And Athanasius's point was, hey, if he didn't take on any aspect of our humanity, we're lost. He took on everything it means to be human without sin, though tempted in every way we are, and that's the misery in which we live. We are condemned to a lifetime of struggle against sin, against the temptations of the flesh. And I tell you what, there are people listening to this radio show today on Christmas Day, and I suspect they are probably alone. They're by themselves. They might be grieving the loss of a loved one years ago or recently. They're suffering in some way. They might be removed from family and friends. They're in misery today because of all this sadness, which the world brings us in so many forms. Jesus Christ came into this world to be among real human beings like you and me, to be among sinners, to take on our flesh, to befriend us, to save us, to lift us up, and to give us the joy and peace that the world can never give. So much of Christmas joy and peace often comes off as very artificial, as if for 2 weeks of the year we set aside all our differences and suddenly we're happy. But the joy that Jesus Christ gives is deep and it's real. And as St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And we do because he came to take our sin, to win us a place with him in heaven. He's with us. He's with those folks listening right now who are by themselves and feeling quite lonely and sad.
Luther loved to talk about the blessed exchange, the happy exchange. What is that?
Just the fact that Christ comes into this world and says, what's mine is now yours, and what's yours is now mine. I will take your sin, and I will give you salvation. I'll take your sins on myself. I'll take them to the cross. I will suffer. I will pay for them. I will come into this world and live the perfect life that God's law and holiness demands. And then I will give you in exchange eternal life, salvation, life here and now that has meaning and significance because of who you are in Jesus Christ, his own dear child, and life that will continue for the unending billions of years to come in heaven, where we all together will stand praising our Savior for all eternity.
There's one other thing I wanted you to talk about in this section before we get to the final section, and that is he goes from the bed of the manger to the bed of our hearts. How do we rightly understand the fact that Christ does take up residence by his Holy Spirit through his word in our hearts?
Yes, this is a wonderful teaching of Holy Scripture that we actually are indwelt by the Holy Trinity. This is not a cause of our justification or being made righteous with God. This is a blessed result of it. And this is what Luther's getting at. It's very interesting that in the original German, it doesn't come out as well in the English. Luther doesn't quite get so melodramatic. He's simply saying, now in light of all these wonderful things, he says, oh, my dear little Jesus, make in my heart a nice, soft, safe room within the very shrine of my heart, he says. And then the reason is, it doesn't come out in English, the reason is that I will never forget you. That's a very interesting comment, that Christ, by faith, through the grace and mercy of God, dwells with us. Jesus said it, I will be with you always until the very end of the age. He's with us when his word's proclaimed, and when we receive the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we take Christ into ourselves, very literally. He takes up residence within us. This is a wonderful gift of salvation that we received and that we receive in Jesus Christ.
The tone that Luther strikes in this section is of a willing humility and a willing choosing of things that are lowly, as opposed to what gold and jewels and silken stuff and things like that. That is another profound teaching of Holy Scripture with regard to the incarnation, that not to become human is to humble himself, but to take our condition on himself is this ultimate act of humility on the part of one who deserves none of it, on the part of one who deserves the highest honor. Talk about that if you would.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We have to be careful when we talk about these things that it's not the fact that he became incarnate. It is how he became incarnate that's so wonderfully humbling for all of us. And Luther really brings that out in his hymn. In fact, the translation we're used to talks about the cattle feeding, you know, the lowly cattle feeding in verse 9. And in fact, the original German, Luther, is very blunt. He said, he's feeding where the ox and ass are. That's a literal translation of the German. And, you know, he's feeding he's lying in a feed trough, because this is all his parents could get for him at the last minute as they came into Bethlehem. And so this wonderful Lord of the universe, instead of choosing to show up in the Roman capital, the great city of Rome itself, you know, in splendor and glory, incarnates himself in the womb of a virgin mother, scandalous, and he's born in this little backwater town called Bethlehem. just an astounding mystery, and it shows forth our Lord's great love for us.
The final two stanzas in the final section of From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. My heart for very joy doth leap, my lips no more can silent keep. I too must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient cradle song, glory to God in highest heaven, who unto us his Son has given, while angels sing with pious mirth a glad new year to all the earth. From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. Paul, it always struck me from the time I remember singing this as a little kid that on Christmas we would be singing about a new year that is still some time away, at least according to the world's calendar, and that he would end this hymn with a glad new year to all the earth. Why does he?
Well, this is really fascinating. I just found out. I spent my whole life wondering, too. Why did Luther throw in a little Happy New Year at the end of his hymn? I thought that seemed kind of tacky. And, you know, for a while I thought, well, maybe it's just a bad translation. And I looked, nope, it says right there, Glad New Year. I work with very smart people at Concordia Publishing House. We're working on a project to explain all the hymns in Lutheran Service Book Hymnal. And the other day I said to my colleague Peter Reske, I said, Peter, I need everything you have on From Heaven Above because I need to be the world's expert for this radio show. And he said, well, I'm going to give you one fascinating detail that not many people know. In Saxony, Germany, Luther's territory, his home state, the new year began on, guess what day? December 25th. So this makes perfect sense that they were wishing each other a Happy New Year as they were celebrating Christmas Eve, because the new year in electoral Saxony began on December 25th. Other places in Germany, it did begin on January 1st. You can imagine the confusion this caused. But this is why Luther puts that little Happy New Year comment at the end of his hymn.
He takes us not only to the manger to stand with the shepherds, but he takes us into the multitude of heavenly hosts that are praising God and singing this most famous hymn of Christmas, Glory to God in the Highest. Why does he do this?
Yeah, Luther has wonderful sermons on Christmas, and I remember a little quip he makes in one of his sermons that when the announcement went that night to the shepherds, every angel who could get away to be there for that wonderful announcement showed up. And so you could just imagine this scene of myriad upon myriad legions of angels filling the sky, singing, chanting this wonderful Gloria in Excelsis, Glory to God in highest heaven. This is actually my favorite part of the hymn, verse 14 and 15. It's, you know, my heart, if you're not happy by the time you get to this hymn, there's something wrong with you. And my heart for very joy must leap. I can't keep quiet. I'm going to join those angels singing, and as Luther puts it, that ancient cradle song. And that ancient song is a wonderful Glory to God in the highest. And it's just a wonderful way to end this hymn so appropriately.
I had someone point out to me recently, your thoughts here with about 30 seconds, that when the angels sing this song, Glory to God, they are singing it to the Christ child, not to the God who's distant in heaven, but to the Christ child who's come to earth. 30 seconds for your thoughts.
Wow. I actually like that a lot. I've never heard that, but it makes perfect sense. They're glorifying and praising the one now who has left their eternal fellowship and now has taken up residence in the human flesh of the Son of God, all the while in the child of Mary, all the while remaining the Son of God. You know, it's almost as if the angels knew exactly what they were talking about.
I think they did. Well, when we come back, we'll talk for another 10 minutes and hear the entire hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. Pastor Paul McCain is our guest on this Christmas Day. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Pastor Paul McCain, studying the Christmas hymn, "From Heaven Above, to Earth I Come." Paul, before we hear the entire hymn, all 15 stanzas together, Luther is famous for loving Christmas. He has his best work, sermon-wise, in his Christmas preaching. He is associated with Christmas quite strongly in a number of ways. Why did the incarnation of Christ and his birth mean so much to the 16th century reformer?
Luther took deeply to heart the great joy and comfort that comes from knowing that God loved us so much that he sent his son to be our Savior. You know, why don't I let Luther just answer your question? I'm reading from a sermon that he preached the afternoon of Christmas Eve in 1530, and he concludes his sermon this way. "What we have said then has been about faith, which is not only to believe in Mary's son, but rather that he who lies in the Virgin's lap is our Savior, and that you accept this and give thanks to God who loved you so much that he gave you a Savior who is yours. And for a sign, he sent the angel from heaven to proclaim him, in order that nothing else should be preached except that this child is the Savior, and far better than heaven and earth. Him, therefore, we should acknowledge and accept, confess him as our Savior in every need, call upon him, and never doubt that he will save us from all misfortune and misery. Amen."
Well, let's hear the entire hymn, "From Heaven Above, to Earth I Come."
From heaven above to earth I come, to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I now will say and sing.
Chosen virgin mild, this little manger lies. Who is this child so young and fair? The blessed Christ child lieth there.
Welcome to earth, O noble guest, through whom the sinful world is blessed. You came to share my misery, that you might share your joy with me.
Set with gold and jewels rare, it would be far too poor and small, a cradle for the Lord of all.
Instead of soft and silk and stuff, you have but hay and straw so rough, on which is king so rich and to be enthroned in royal state.
And so it pleases you to see this simple truth revealed to me, that worldly honor, wealth, and might are weak and worthless in your sight.
The hymn From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. Paul, your final thoughts on this Christmas hymn.
When we reflect on Christmas, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ come to mind. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And God here shows us that he prefers to come to the simple and to the lowly. And we think of all these wonderful characters in this biblical account. You know, Mary was just a very simple young woman, a girl really, a virgin, a nobody. And God comes into the midst of the workaday world, people who are just going about their business. You know, Mary was just probably doing her job, doing chores, when Gabriel showed up to announce she was going to be the mother of our Lord. And Mary believed the message. What a wonderful gift of faith she was given to believe this astounding news. And then she went to her cousin and helped her out, Elizabeth. And nobody helped Mary and Joseph. They went on their way unnoticed and unseen to Bethlehem. And the shepherds were just doing what was given to them to do by God when they came to announce this wonderful good news. And God comes into our midst on Christmas. He comes and touches each of our lives. And like I said before, I know there's people listening to this show today who are lonely and hurting and sad. Perhaps it's a long-felt grief or, frankly, guilt for sin. And we can all at this point look at our lives and say to ourselves, Lord, I have not lived up to your expectations. I have not served you as I should. I have not honored your name. I have not kept your commandments. I am sinful, and I am unclean. I'm like those dirty shepherds in the fields. I need to come and see my Savior. I need to see my Lord lying in the hay and the feed stall for me. God came into this world as a little baby, and that baby grew up to be the man, Jesus Christ, who would one day take all of our sins, all of our griefs, all of our sorrows, everything we deserve. He took it upon himself, and on the sacrifice of the cross, that great altar of the cross, he offered himself up once for all and said, "It is finished. All is paid for. You are forgiven. You're redeemed. Every sin is taken away." And he rose again to prove it, shattering the power of sin, death, and hell. And now he's ascended into heaven and there fills all things and will one day return and take us to be with himself where he is. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus came into this world at just the right time, laid down his life for our salvation, for your salvation, for my salvation, and we can rejoice with Martin Luther, and we too can join the wonderful song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with those whom he is well pleased. So that's a wonderful message of this hymn. It's been a privilege to be with you today and share it.
Pastor Paul McCain, publisher and executive director of the editorial department for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Paul, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Folks, please consider making a special Christmas gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can make a secure online donation at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. All gifts to Lutheran Public Radio are completely tax deductible, and thank you in advance for your support. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for the next hour. We're going to discuss the birth of Christ according to the famous account in St. Luke. Dr. Arthur Just will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.